WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnuts. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, everyone. This is Angelina Love.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
This is WWE superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie.
And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time. You'll experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you'd come.
Welcome to the Rack Extra NXT TakeOver Philadelphia Edition right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We are brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, so go to YouTube.com/MBG1211. Check out all his amazing, awesome shows, including Wrestling Figure Wednesday. And if you get a quick second, check out Gerwick.net and FightBooth.com as well, and our own website, RackRadioShow.com. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward, and I'm joined, as always, by the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. Holy crap. What a bunch of stuff we have to talk about.
We have things. We have many things to talk about. And, well, we're not alone.
The NXT analyst, TJ Bellomega.
Excuse me, as I'm not done with my extraordinarily long entrance that leads up to a mouthpiece.
But you look fantastic doing it.
Of course I do.
You know, with all the hair and the clothes and the airbrushed shorts and things.
One does what one does to be presentable.
No, this is true. This is very, very true. So, we are here to talk NXT TakeOver Philadelphia, which just ended, and it was crazy insane at the end. We'll get to it. But first, I need to talk about the pre-show. I don't know if anybody here watched the pre-show.
We did.
Okay.
At least I did.
Two things about Pete Dunne, who showed up on the pre-show. By the way, he and Tyler Bate won match of the year, so go them. One, Pete Dunne will fight anybody, including Brock Lesnar, to which our entire response is, make that happen. Somebody please make that happen.
Brock versus Dunne? Let's do a thing.
Let's do a thing. Let's do this. And two, am I the only one that's convinced that Pete Dunne is William Regal's bastard child?
I think many people have thought this for a very long time.
Like, have we done a DNA test on them to prove that he's not?
No, we have not done a DNA test. They take a while, and Maury's very busy.
They could work it out.
He's a very busy man.
They could work it out.
I know they can work it out, but he's a very busy man at this point in his life.
You can get Springer. He's not doing anything.
Yeah, But do you really want to get Springer?
In a pinch, just get Steve. You don't have them come along together, and they can, you know, come between Dunn and Regal, so that way they don't try to kill each other.
I don't think Steve and Springer get along anymore.
I'm not sure, but for the right amount of money, I'm pretty sure they could.
Once Steve left to do his own thing, I don't think their relationship has been as good. Just saying.
You clearly know more about this than I do.
I only know that he has his own show. I don't know why he has his own show. He's a bodyguard.
Because he's Steve.
I know, he's Steve. Still, he's just a bodyguard.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about Springer and Steve and Maury and Bastard Love Children. Sure. We're here to talk about
Hold
Tango.
On. Are you sure?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That'll be the rumble where we're talking about all that.
Okay.
Because their shenanigans will abound in that one. But also, for the pre-show, Zelina Vega, Samoa Joe, I swear to God, we're one insult away from, like, just banging each other right there on the table.
Boom, shaka, wow, wow.
There was some serious sexual tension going on there.
Yeah, there was.
It was a little awkward. Yeah. Amazing.
Amazing, but awkward at the same exact time.
Because he was flirting with her. He was hate flirting with her. He is very good at that.
It is what Samoa Joe do.
And also, he wants to fight Asuka, apparently. Because they said she's the most dominant superstar ever, and he's like, excuse me, I'm not dead yet.
Right.
Which, so, Joe versus Asuka.
I will say this about Joe, who's fantastic on the pre-show. Like, they had him read the promo ads for the Royal Rumble, and you're like, y'all should be thankful I'm not in this match.
We're not thankful that you're not in the match, Joe. We very much want you
not,
in the match.
Not us, the people in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They should be very thankful he's not in the match. Anyway, that's enough about the pre-show. There are not three matches on a pre-show like there is tomorrow night.
I'm going to have to go get food early. Damn it.
You got to leave now.
Omega, did you watch the pre-show? Do you have thoughts?
Unfortunately, I missed the pre-show. It's been an awkward night.
Gotcha. No worries. So.
Well, that sums up this show. Oh.
Right? So, going to the main show, we only had five matches.
Five.
And we opened. You were going to say something? I'm sorry.
I said five.
Five. And we opened with the tag team titles on the line as Authors of Pain took on Undisputed Era, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish in this match.
What I'll say about this match. It was not the best match. It was not the worst match. It was somewhere in between, to the point where it's weird seeing the Authors of Pain on defense, but I like the story they told working over one of the author's legs. I don't remember which one, but
I believe it was Akam.
Okay. Because I can't tell them apart. But I did like that as the storytelling portion of the match.
Yeah, that was good. I mean, the match had a great, great story. I mean, it was weird, like you said, to see them on defense, you know, but I liked that. Because it made Fish and O'Reilly look like a pair of badasses.
It did. It did. Because it's weird, because they're the heel, so it's like, oh, God, it's weird seeing the authors in, like, sort of the babyface role. Because that's
a little bit, yeah.
That's what they had to play tonight, because Undisputed Era is the top heel group, so it's like, it's
kind of
weird.
Kind of the flavor of the WWE right now. I mean, your top face on Raw right now is Braun Strowman, and that's accidental.
Well, it was for a while. Now it's full on. He's the top babyface. Behind, you know, Roman Reigns.
Who?
That guy.
The guy that's going to win the Royal Rumble tomorrow.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know about that.
Golden ticket.
Golden ticket. He don't need to win a Rumble to be a golden ticket. But, yeah, overall this match was okay. They've had better tag matches on the show, but it was, like, told what the story they needed to tell. They put Undisputed Era over. I don't know what else needs to be said about it.
I like that they were actually able to make people feel somewhat sympathetic for the Authors of Pain when you consider the amount of damage and destruction that the Authors of Pain have wrought. You're seeing them lying there, you know, like screaming in agony, and you're like, oh, you poor guys. So, you know, it's like, bravo to them for doing that.
Oh, now I remember. The finish. The finish was a little awkward.
A little bit.
Because they were trying to one author to the other author, and one author sort of like started to run, then stopped and realized, oh yeah, this is the spot where I have to collide with the guy, so he picked back up speed to hit him for the roll up. It was kind of weird, and like it was only like a split second stop, but you know, I noticed it, so I was like,
There was a spot in this match I absolutely loved, which was Fish getting pulled out from the ring by his legs and just scratching and clawing and pleading the entire way, like very audibly begging for this to stop.
Flair style begging.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
So, the Undisputed Era retained the titles. I'll say, I want to go back a minute. because I'm reading my Twitter for notes. One, thank you, Philly, for the mentions of F. Tom Brady before TakeOver. Thank you very much during the pre-show. That was fantastic. Two, Paul Heyman doing the voiceover for the video package.
Oh, that was sweet.
That was fantastic. That was fantastic. Anything else we need to add to this match?
Omega?
No, I'm good here.
All right, so
Hold on. Before you get to the next match, look in the crowd. It's War Machine.
Well, I wasn't going to the next match, but okay.
Sorry.
Oh, is it Iron Man's friend?
Yes, Iron Man's friend's in the crowd.
Yes, it's Rhodey. Yes, the tag team that they weren't going to call War Machine is called War Machine in the crowd.
To be fair, when they do have someone new coming in, they do refer to them by the recognized name.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's definitely changing, because every copyright ever.
But what are they going to call them? Conflict Contraption? I mean...
I like that, actually.
They can call them War Machine. War with two R's. It's like Riot with two T's. It gets away with it.
I mean, I think they've really gone back to, at least in NXT, having them be what they're known as, what their gimmick was, all that stuff, and they figure out the copyright crap later. Or they figure it out before they sign them, and it's like, but they try to stick to the original name as much as possible, because if you notice the new crop, Johnny Gargano came in as Johnny Gargano, and he's using Johnny Wrestling.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's that type of thing where I think it's, look, this is what made you, this is what brought you here, so we'll this is what you get to be.
We'll see if they keep it full time, but yeah.
Alistair, what is with that shirt? It's a very, very ugly shirt. He looks very awkward in it. Anyway, sorry, the pre-show's on. They're replaying TakeOver on the network, and I just didn't turn it off. So, I'm going to go where I was going to go to before I got interrupted, which is Undisputed Era retains over Authors of Pain. Up next...
War Machine.
War Machine! Yay! We have the Velveteen Dream taking on Cassius Ohno, and... they actually did a nice little hype package for this.
Where he said on the pre-show that he'll knock him out in 30 seconds.
And the best part of this match was the crowd counting in the first 30 seconds of this match.
Yeah. Before we get to the match, do the entrance.
So, Dream comes out. He does his thing, and then he has people with him. He has a very lovely lady who takes his jewelry from him, and then on a plush, I'm assuming purple pillow, it was hard to tell.
It was a white one.
Yeah, okay. Plush white pillow, bathed in purple light, this man is holding a mouthguard.
Yep.
And there's this whole dramatic of Dream putting in the mouthguard, taking off his jewelry. It's like, God damn, if you could be any more extra, I would be stunned.
Keep in mind, it is Philadelphia, and he is coming out promising a 30-second knockout in actual boxing shorts.
With his opponent's face painted on them.
He's pulling in like major like Apollo Creed vibes.
Yeah, he is. He really is. And then Ohno came out. There was lots of new gear tonight. Pretty much everybody did have some sort of new gear or new entrances or something. They upped their game tonight for NXT. They kind of did a little bit of a rebrand.
One of them had a wife.
We'll get to her.
But Cash is his gear. One, it stops the copyright for it's been sold off his other gear. You know, for reasons. Two,
it fit him better.
It sort of fit him better. It's still, like, when the shirt was full out, it looked like he was only wearing a shirt and nothing else.
I'm okay with that. He was wearing a shirt.
Yes, he was wearing a shirt, but his legs are huge.
But that's okay!
Yeah, but we don't need to see close-up of his legs.
They just get him some smoothing cream. It'll be fine.
I'm reading live notes from the show. Apparently, at one point during the pre-show, there was an XFL chant.
Nice.
Way to be, Philly. Way to be.
That's your city.
It's fantastic. So this match, Dream is over.
Dream is very over.
Yeah. I love how his entire entrance and all that pomp and circumstance, everything set up, just the mouth guard going in, is all to set up one spot where he just gets too cocky, gets knocked right in the mouth guard goes flying.
Yeah. It was too pretty, because they use it to protect the knockout, which is why I was wearing it. The 30-second count was fantastic, and he's like, I did it, I knocked him out, I win, right? I win.
No, you still have to wrestle after that.
This is not a knockouts-only match. You need to actually wrestle him. Okay, this is a comment about Twitter. We all know how old Velveteen Dream is. He's 22 years old. Everyone tweet is, oh my god, look how impressive he is at 22 years old. Imagine what he'll be in a few years. All these people are praising him for being so good at 22, and then you watch the last 3 minutes of this match. There's a reason why he's only 22. The final 3 minutes were very sloppy.
No, there's a reason why he's still in NXT at 22. And the reasons were the last 3 minutes of this match, because he still has plenty he has to learn, and, you know, he still has to be polished up. But yes, they do that a lot with the younger guys. It's like for Dunn and Bate too, especially Tyler Bate. They do that a lot for him, because it's like, oh my god, he's like 20. Look how good he is at 20. It's like, well, yeah, but he's also been working since he was like 13.
Right.
So
he's the exception.
Yeah.
You know,
Keep going.
So yeah, well, that's all I was going to say. So please go ahead.
No, Dream is extremely impressive at 22 because he's, you know, he is a tough enough come up who is very new to this. You know, at 22, he understands, like, not only is he just really good in the ring for the level he is at right now and his level of experience, he understands how to get the crowd into a match.
He has the psychology down.
Yeah. I mean, there's rough spots. I mean, you could tell, like, when he's dealing with someone like Aleister Black, those two had great chemistry. Those two worked in a phenomenal match, bell to bell. You could tell he's not used to wrestling someone built like Ono.
Because what they tried to do was, like, the basic stuff worked okay. When he tried to go fancy, it did not work so well. Like, there is the float, it's like he tries to do some sort of Sister Abigail style float over DDT thing, and it just looked awful.
Yeah. He tried to catch Ono for a Death Valley driver out of nowhere, and
yeah,
you could tell he wasn't ready for someone with that weight coming in at that angle.
To their credit, they went back and redid the spot. The first attempt was like, ooh, that's cringeworthy. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was not the best showing for either guy. Like, this really wasn't. I think there was a little bit of a style clash here as well, where it's just like they just couldn't quite make it work, but they did their best. So, yeah. But, I mean, he looked good. They both looked good. In the end, as we all predicted, because I remember this one, Velveteen Dream takes out Cassius Ohno.
Yeah, sloppy match. So we can now stop the brakes on Velveteen Dream. And this, oh my god, he needs to be on the main roster as WWE champion.
No, 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 no.
No, not yet.
Stop the brakes. Stop them now.
I believe you have a future title contender in him. You have the makings of someone who could be extraordinarily good. He needs more experience, and he needs to work his promo game a little better.
Right, so stop the brakes. He'll be there.
We acknowledge he's good for what he is right now, but there are still reasons he's there.
Yeah, they're still working on him. They're polishing him up. So I expect him to be up on the main roster this year, but not yet.
That may be way too soon. Should be next year at WrestleMania time, but
we'll see.
Yeah. Give him credit. He finished sloppy in this match, and Philly, which is a tough crowd to work, they still forgave him.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing something right.
So, do we have any crowd shots after this?
We did not have a crowd shot, but we went backstage. And we saw Johnny Gargano preparing with his family backstage, including Mrs. Wrestling.
Yeah, I love it. Casually, just in the background. Oh, hey, look, it's Candice LeRae.
It's like, I'm not there. I'm just sort of here. I'm not going to look at the camera, but then she kind of looks at the camera.
She's like, hey!
I'm here. Did y'all notice me? All right, next.
So up next, we cut over to Maria Menounos, who is announced as the celebrity re-announcer for tomorrow's Royal Rumble for the female Rumble, so yay. And then we get to the ladies' match, where we have Ember Moon taking on Shayna Baszler for the NXT Women's title. This was fun as hell. It was not the best wrestling match I've ever seen, but goddamn, this was fun.
First off, way to be, Philly. Always boo in Texas. They announced where Ember Moon was from, Dallas, Texas, and they boo. And they knew Dallas sucked. So it's like, way to be, Philly. Way to be.
Poor Ember.
They popped for her name, but when they said from Dallas, Texas, boo.
Stay classy, Philly. Stay classy.
We're amazing, and we're going to the Super Bowl. Anyway, the match. What do you think, Omega?
I mean, I thought this one started rough, but I got so into this by the end of the match. I love how much work went into just working the arm and building to the finish and actual storytelling in a match. There's ring psychology going on here.
It was, here's a fighter who's going to kick someone's ass. And that's what she did. Ember got her spots in. Like, the one where the story was, Shayna stomps on the arm of Ember, like she did to Dakota Kai a couple weeks ago in Atlanta at the NXT shows, break her arm. That's what she's selling the entire time, and Ember did a fantastic job selling her arm throughout it. Like, when she had a spring off the middle rope, her arm was tucked to her chest. It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
She did everything with her right hand or her legs. It was great storytelling by Ember, but Shayna just beat on her, beat on her, beat on her. I know a lot of people did not like this match. This is a style, because it's something completely different. Shayna's different. And that's what we try to explain Thursday. She's different than the rest.
I feel like they did a really good job in this match of covering Shayna's faults. Because Shayna's still trying to adjust from MMA to, or from...
Yeah.
Coming from MMA to wrestling. There we go. There it is. It's late. Sorry. And that was my one complaint about her in the Mae Young Classic, is you could tell that she was still kind of transitioning, she was still filling it out, and the people that she was working with weren't helping to necessarily cover those faults. She was just doing straight-up wrestling matches, and she was really good in the Mae Young Classic, but they're just, you could very clearly see she still needed a little bit of work. This match, she and Ember did a really great job of covering her faults, of making her look like a badass. Like, Ember sold for her like a mother.
Yes, she did.
The whole match. There was like a spot where basically Shayna's got her in the arm bar, and she's got the bad arm in the arm bar, and they're just rolling around the ring, and Ember's screaming and kicking and flailing and everything else, and Shayna's just got her, and it's like, oh god, is she gonna tap? Is she gonna tap? And
I was just gonna say, yeah, like, the whole ending sequence to this match was just phenomenal.
There's so many moments she's like, she's going to tap, right? She's going to tap her out. The best part was, like, she's getting closer to the ropes, and then Shayna pulls her leg in.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Yeah, Shayna just scrambling to keep all of her limbs in the middle of the ring.
It's like, don't you, because she knows.
And she never loses the arm the whole time.
Right.
No, she kept rolling over. She kept just holding on to it. It was a really great spot. But in the end, Ember is able to get enough leverage to where she basically folds Shayna over and uses her body weight to put Shayna down for three.
If Shayna's going to lose, that's the way Shayna should lose. She got outsmarted. She didn't get beat.
I love this whole sequence. I love the suspense to it. I love the fact that in the modern WWE age of tapping as soon as you get into a submission, that we had one go on this long. We had this much struggling. At one point, Ember is literally clawing at Shayna's arm, trying to get her to let go. And it's just how many more spots can this do? How many more escapes? How many more? And I love that it went so long that I totally believe the finish, that, you know, someone who's still new to wrestling, who is still essentially a rookie here, just fell for a rookie mistake. She was so focused on the arm, she forgot to watch her shoulders.
She's cocky. She's a bully. She's very, very cocky. And cockiness, in the end, bit her.
Which I'm okay with, because that means we're going to get a second match out of these two.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Oh, yeah.
And if y'all want to do that in Atlanta...
On Thursday,
I'm fine with that. Totally fine with that.
This reminder, we will not be live on Thursday night. We'll be airing a special podcast on Thursday afternoon, because someone's going to NXT.
Again. Hey, they're going to come to my city twice in a month. I'm going to go. Because how often do they come here? Not very, y'all. Not very. And if I can manage to score tickets, yeah, I'm going to go.
So, yes. Ember Moon, still your champ.
And then after the match, Shayna Baszler attacks Ember as she's limping up the ramp in pain. And, yeah, just beats up Ember even further, which was great.
Fantastic.
So you kind of redeem Shayna in the loss by having her beat up Ember. But yeah, I like, if she's got to take the L, go ahead and have her get outsmarted. Don't have her, you know, don't have Ember beat her down, because that doesn't help anyone. It's Shayna just has got her, and Ember's like, oh, okay, I'm just going to fold you over. Boop, you're done.
Oh, going back to the match, she hit the eclipse. But she was in so much pain. So much pain, she couldn't do it. They even brought doctors out.
Oh, yeah. She sounded like she broke her arm.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was, again, great storytelling in the match.
Ember made this look like $1 million.
This is the match that sort of went, okay, now we're kicking. Now mm-hmm. we're getting there.
Yeah, so I look forward to more of this.
All right, crowd shot time.
Crowd shot time, and well.
It's Ricochet.
Yay.
Hey, Prince Puma.
So have you got to the end of Lucha Underground yet?
No.
I'm still on like episode 10, 11, whatever it was.
Chavo goes away, I swear.
You say this, but he's still on there. He's still there.
Patience.
I have none.
Just fast forward.
No.
Then you suffer.
No, I went to news radio instead.
Oh, God. So anyway, after this, so we now get the match, which is the craziest match of the night, and it's a toss-up on which is actually match of the night for this show between this and the main event, where you have Adam Cole, baby, taking on Aleister Black.
Aleister Bed Bath & Beyond Black.
Yes, Aleister Bed Bath & Beyond Black with his 20 dozen candles.
With his 20 dozen candles. Oh, God.
And excellent table arrangement as well.
Yeah. Yes, yes. He's quite good at that. So,
okay.
This was an Extreme Rules match.
Yes, it was.
We had tables.
We did.
We had ladders.
We did.
We had chairs.
We did.
They played with their big sticks.
They did.
And I'm trying to think if there was anything else.
Okay.
Weapons-wise. Not people-wise. Not, weapons-wise.
I don't think there were any other weapons. But I love that Aleister was like, I'm not going to use any of these. Come on. Like, Adam was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And like Black was like, I'm just going to tease him with it. I'm just going to tease him by using it. I'm going to use it. But he doesn't use it right away.
Mm-mm.
But then things got like painfully serious in this match.
Yeah. It's like I've got the replay on now, and I just clicked to a random spot, and it's one of the most painful spots I've ever seen.
Yeah.
There were many.
Yeah, you kind of have to be a little bit more specific.
The two chairs back to back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which that was pretty bad.
I've never seen someone do that, and I think I see why, because I thought he paralyzed him for a second.
Okay, on that spot, as dangerous as it was, thankfully he did not land straight on the top. He took the curve a little bit.
That still hurt like a...
Still hurts like hell.
Yeah.
But he did not take it full on straight on the spine. So that's...
Yeah. Say, a person's spinal column was involved in that spot.
I know, but what hurt probably his back more was being just thrown from the electric chair into the ladder, back first.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened. I don't know where he got cut in his hand, but somewhere he got cut on his hand.
Badly cut on his hand.
Oh, trash cans.
Oh, was it the trash cans?
There was a trash can as well. He said other weapons.
Oh,
I'm looking,
okay.
looking if there's a trash can in the ring. Yeah, that spot was crazy. So, Black arranged the tables nicely.
Mm-hmm.
We all forgot about those tables.
You never forget about the tables.
You never forget, but they
yeah.
You kind of forget.
Wait, it's Chekhov's gun.
Yeah.
You set it up in Act 1. You use it in Act 3.
Yeah. So Adam Cole throws the chair at Aleister Black, who's on the middle rope, catches the chair. He gets super kicked and then falls backwards off the middle rope through two tables.
Ooh,
that was amazing and brutal and just all the things. Like, just all the things right there. That was like, wow.
They really beat the crap out of each other in this match. Like,
there's
so many moves to, like, sort of tell you. You just have to see it to believe it.
I mean, it's literally one of those things that it took them a minute to get started, but once they got started, they did not stop until the end of this match. Like, they just were throwing things at each other, throwing each other through things, bodies were going everywhere. I mean, at one point towards the end of the match, you have Undisputed Era come back out to try and pull Adam Cole out of the fray and save him, but Aleister Black and Sanity were having no part of that. And Sanity comes out and beats up Undisputed Era and Adam Cole in the assist for Aleister Black, and at one point, Killian Dane flew through the air.
He did. He did fly through the air.
My God, the fear in those men who had to catch him.
Catch all 300-plus pounds of Killian Dane.
I mean, bravo for catching him, but God, it's just like, wait, Killian, no, Killian, oh God, he's gonna fly. He flew.
Yeah, so I kind of wondered throughout the entire night, every time they showed the announce table, so why is there a case at ringside, like, tucked away in the corner? That's never there.
because Alistair wanted to take a nap on it.
He needed something to jump off of. So there's like this case at the corner, and like they're fighting on it, and Adam Cole gets coup de grace through the announce table, which was fantastic.
It was epic.
Yeah.
And they
if he didn't see it, not the way you expect, where he's laying on the table at the time. No, forced him down and through the table with just sheer body weight.
Yeah. Adam Cole knocks out Black at that point when they get back in the ring. And then he grabs a chair. He's ready to lay out Aleister Black. And Aleister Black gets a Black Mass for the win.
Which was a little surprising, but it's like, okay, all right, I'll take that. I will completely accept that. I mean, honestly, this is one of those matches where it's like, you really don't care who wins. You're enjoying the hell out of it that much that you're like, I don't even care at this point who wins. This is just too good. It was one of those. If you're going to do an Extreme Rules match, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
They did Philly proud tonight.
They tore the house down. So Aleister Black goes over. We'll see where that goes from here. But Lindsay, I smell trouble.
That's right. There's some trouble in Philly as we cut over to the crowd one last time. And who's standing there but EC3.
No. EC3.
I like EC3.
We all like EC3, but the way it was written was EC3.
Somebody mistyped that. Which,
someone hit the space bar.
Which prompted the best reaction from wrestlers on Twitter ever, because he showed up and Fandango was like,
He was like, Fandango, at the real EC3, ... And Mike Kanellis was like, don't I know you? And there's probably been a bunch of others. I know Maria mentioned him. I know Matt Hardy mentioned him.
You have to say the Matt Hardy tweet.
I was going
to
save it for Thursday.
Say it again on Thursday.
All right, hold on. Let me go to my favorites and pull it up.
How many people went, hey, it's Derek Bateman?
Not that many.
Not that many, yeah.
Matt Hardy goes, welcome to the great game, third version of Carter.
So yeah, look forward to many tweets about an EC3 in the future, but he brought the trouble because we have our main event taking on Andrade Cien Almas for the NXT Championship is Johnny Gargano. I'm just going to throw this out here. Lucha Mariachis. Holy shit. Lucha Mariachis. I'm on board for this 100%. That needs to be a permanent thing. They just need to follow Cien around everywhere and play his theme song.
That was good.
I mean, whoever came up with that concept, they deserve a raise.
He was in his La Sombra mask as well.
Yes.
But can I get his violinist to fight Shinsuke Nakamura's violinist?
Possibly.
It's like, I seriously just want like a dueling banjo scenario now between these two.
It would be amazing. That could be on the Royal Rumble pre-show.
It could.
Yeah, you know, we've already got three things. Why not add a fourth? But anyway, Andrade comes out to a good pop. Johnny comes out to a massive pop. The two get under the way. You can tell this is going to be a long match because they start out very, very slow. They're taking their time. They're not rushing this match. And hey, look, conveniently at ringside, there's Mrs. Wrestling with the family. So you kind of have a general idea of what's going on. And eventually the match picked up, and eventually it led to a really just absolutely fantastic wrestling match once they got going. And once they started hitting their stride, oh, it was great. My only complaint about this is it's Johnny Gargano, so you're waiting for the twist.
You're waiting for the twist the entire time.
Because you know there's a twist coming. You just don't know if it's Candice or Tommaso. Because they were hitting Tommaso Ciampa really heavy tonight. So it's like, is he coming back? Is he not coming back? Because I think it was during the Aleister Black match, you looked at under the ring and there was an active monitor under the ring.
Yeah. In this matchup, you learned how good of a true old school babyface Johnny Gargano is.
Oh yeah.
He has the babyface facial reactions down pat. His selling of every big move, his selling of every knee to the face, looked like he was dead the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
He worked so hard, his hair is spiking everywhere.
Yep.
But near falls, submission attempts. This match had everything, and the crowd was buying into every single moment because this crowd wanted Johnny Gargano to be champion. They were pleading with him to get this belt. He did everything in his power. You had Zelina Vega get involved. Like the one spot, the callback spot where she does the head scissors into the steps. They did that, and they played it into a two count, which was fantastic. But you knew Candice was like, not going to do that to my man so many times before I get out there and I kick your ass. So she kept inching closer and inching closer, and they would eventually tangle, and she got chased out of the arena. These two just beat on each other. Those running knees by Andrade. Ooh.
Jeez.
They were spectacular.
The DDT into the apron?
The DDT into the apron. The double foot stomp into the apron.
Oh god, that was epic. And then Johnny just afterwards was like, I'm good. Not really.
Get doctors come out, check on him after knees to the running knees into the ring post. Everything was done right in this match. But in the end, they kept the belt on Almas.
Which I think most of us figured that they would. What I really like about this match is it did wonderful things for Johnny, because it let Johnny show what Johnny's really, really good at. But what it also did was made Andrade look legit, which I think they were sorely needing to do, because there were a lot of doubters about Andrade being champion, just because it's like he was sort of nowhere and then boom, he's got the belt. So now it's, he hung with Johnny Gargano. They put on a really, really, really good contest. Andrade could show what he was capable of in the ring and how talented he is in the ring to a lot of people. And Johnny made him look like $1 million. Andrade made Johnny look like $1 million. Candice and Zelina, I want more of that, because Candice was just like, jumped the railing and she's like, not my husband, you bitch, not my husband. And starts just laying forearms into her, which was amazing.
I love that they followed him so far out the building that they made it to the back door.
Right?
Oh, jeez. This match was phenomenal. Like, it's the kind of match where I'm so into one of the wrestlers, it's just completely deflating to see him lose, because it felt like he earned, scripted sport or not, it felt like he earned that win and just didn't get it.
It's still a competition, whether the outcome is determined or not. And that's what they showed in this match. They went 32 minutes.
And we enjoyed every minute of it.
And what I liked was, and I told Lindsay this, from the finish of the Aleister Black Adam Cole match to the start of this one, it was about 15 minutes. It didn't feel like it, because you had entrance and everything, but it was a nice 15 minutes where you got to take the crowd down a little and get them built back up. And these guys delivered. You had Candice return to help up her man. They walked to the back. The crowd gave them a standing ovation, as you knew
rightfully
they would,
deserved.
As you knew they would. And then you see the ending graphic on the side.
No, before you get there, we're all sitting there and we're like, okay, we're waiting for it. We're waiting for it, because you know it's coming. You know there's something else because of the way that they're shooting it. And the fact that Candice is there, and for a second it's like, oh god, if Candice turns on Johnny, the internet's gonna melt down. Like, it's just, the wrestling world is going to collapse in on itself, because the cutest couple in wrestling just broke up, and we're just not able to handle that.
Everyone turns on Johnny.
It's like, no, don't do it. And then they get to the stage and they show the ending graphic and you're like, oh, okay, well.
No, the second Johnny turned his back.
Oh, I know.
You
but it's
knew.
Like, you knew.
And you heard,
but it's like,
you
they
heard the
show
crowd.
The ending graphic. So you're like, okay, well, maybe they're good. No.
You heard the roar of the crowd.
Yeah, why did the crowd suddenly get twice as loud?
And there he was. The Blackheart right there.
And with a crutch to the back, he lays out Johnny Gargano in front of Candice.
And he just stood there looking at his former best friend, former roommate, and stood there, watched him suffer in pain, and then limped off. Tremendous.
And Candice is looking at him like, I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to seriously hurt you. You better run as fast as your lame leg can take you, because I'm going to take you down.
I like how he literally came out just to kick him while he's down and left. It's such a petty thing to do.
But it's perfect.
It's amazing.
Oh, it's perfect. It's perfect. But, like, oh, the level of bitter there.
It just goes with his tweets. It just backs up everything he's been doing on Twitter for the last year. Like, it's such a level of bitterness and pettiness that every time he tweets about Johnny, so he's like, I'm just going to go out there and hit him with my crutch one time, and then I'm going to leave. Like, he got on an airplane specifically to do that. He flew to the show specifically to smack Johnny one time with his crutch and leave.
Yep.
Like, I have to respect the hell out of that. That is a level of bitterness and pettiness, like you said, that I can only hope to achieve one day. Because damn, that is next level.
So overall, it was a fun show. Two really good matches that I cannot say this one was better. This was the match of the night. No, they are both matches of the night.
I personally want Zelina Vega versus Samoa Joe because it's on my TV right now. And again, there's so much awkward sexual tension. Just so much. Because Joe's just like sitting there flinging insults at her. And hate flirting with her. And smiling the whole time that he's doing it.
It's tremendous. But great show, fun show, as always. Right?
Absolutely. I was thoroughly entertained. Even when matches got sloppy, I was still way into them.
I would agree with that 100%. I mean, it didn't open necessarily strong, but it finished really strong. This isn't, you know, a blow out of the water takeover like what we've seen in the past, but this was better than takeovers we've seen. Definitely, for sure. I mean, I would say it's about in the middle. It was a fun show. It was really well paced. And what I really like about these is they don't overbook. You had 5 matches. Everybody got time. Everybody was able to go out there and do their best and perform at their best level, which was great. And also, the music was really hot for this pay-per-view. It was seriously hot. I don't know who gets to pick the music for NXT. Quality choices go round. Really love the music.
Right. Now, before we go, we're about to go. We ended the show, there were only like 6 matches. They added 3. So let's give the intern something to listen to, and let's make some picks, shall we?
You mean listen to while he's working?
While he's working, yes. So, make some picks. Kalisto, Grand Metalik, and Lindsay Dorado takes on Drew Gulak, TJP, and Jack Gallagher. Lindsay, who you got?
I want to pick Drew Gulak because I have him on Fantasy, but it's going to be the Faces.
Omega.
Yeah, it'll be the Faces.
Sadly, it will be the Faces. It is Gallows and Anderson taking on the Revival. This match will probably go longer than 2 minutes. Lindsay, who you got?
I'm going to say the Revival.
Oh my God.
Revival.
The Club. That'd be different.
You just have to be different. You just have to be contrary, don't you?
I do, because there's no 8-ball right now. Bobby Roode versus mystery opponent for the United States title in an open challenge.
Are we all going to say it together?
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Bobby.
Gender.
Dolph.
So I was going through the Rumble and doing the picks, the order selection, available now at WildTalkRadio.com. Shameless plug. Gender was not announced for the Rumble. I found that curious.
The Rumble, they only announced Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's still like half the spots available last time I checked.
I figured they would have announced Gender by now. He was the WWE champion for 5 months? Whatever it was, 4 or 5 months?
Too long.
Too long. But who wins this match? Do you think it's really going to be Dolph coming out as the opponent?
I think it is.
Even on the pre-show?
It is Dolph. The pre-show's kind of his land.
It's kind of his land. I think it might just be generous to his opponent get the rematch out of the way. But I got Bobby retaining. Who you guys got, Omega?
No, I'd say mystery opponent. Just to throw a curveball in there.
Lindsay, who you got?
Bobby.
There you go, intern. Now you got more picks to recap.
You have more stuff to simp.
Don't remind me. I don't even know if Lindsay's in the game. Anyway, we'll figure that out.
You can find him.
I don't have the time to make him.
Slacker.
Really. But at this point, Lindsay's going to tell you to go do something really awesome.
That's right. The Wrestling and Radio Awards are going on right now. And hey, guess what? We're up for awards.
What?
You can vote for The Rat for Show of the Year, Media Interview of the Year with Shawn Michaels, and Female Interview of the Year with Angelina Love. So go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com because voting ends tomorrow. So make sure you hit them up next Sunday, or that's tomorrow, not even this Sunday, tomorrow, and vote for us. Tell your friends. You can vote once a day, midnight to midnight. WrestlingRadioAwards.com.
In like an hour, midnight-ish, see Reddit Live, midnight-ish, we're doing the Great and the Great Debate. You can win a prize valued at $100. Want more information, go to twitter.com/CBRadioLive. See how you can enter. If you didn't enter in time, well, you didn't win a prize worth $100. Find out more later tonight at CB Radio. But Omega's back tomorrow night at 11-ish p.m. Eastern with WTR Sunday night. Recapping the Rumble. We'll be back Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night is twitch.tv/rackradioshow for WTR Sims Presents WTR Championship Professional Wrestling. The Rack Extra Total Divas season finale will be available Thursday afternoon, along with an all-new episode of The Rack recapping the mixed match challenge and the Royal Rumble. You don't want to miss it. Rack Radio Show on all the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Tumblr, Instagram, everywhere you want a social media platform, it's Rack Radio Show. At Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Omega, plug your stuff.
As always, my stuff can be found under one name, unless you check over on Facebook, in which case, search out TJ Reviews. Everywhere else, TJ Omega, that is the Twitter handle, that is the YouTube channel, loaded with content, and for content YouTube doesn't like, it is tjomega.net.
There you go. You can follow me on Twitter, at Linsward, L-A-N-S-T-V-A-R-D. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitters. And if you get a quick second, check out the very fine sponsors over at gerwick.net, fightboot.com, and mbgfilms, youtube.com/mbg1211. So for Omega and for Rock, this has been the Rack Extra NXT Takeover Edition, and we will be back this Thursday with the regular show. So till then, bye. When the lights come on, when the crowd goes wild, rip the roof out of our head, take it to the stratosphere, shout up and scream it loud. When the fire flies, rip the roof out of our head, take it to the stratosphere, to the stratosphere.
WildTalkRadio.com.